Chodesh Tov, everyone. Chodesh Tov. The topic that I wanted to deal with today is a topic that I believe is very germane to any Jew, but it's even more germane when you're not Jewish. And what do I mean? The Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, tells you the process of conversion. And you know, when you teach a convert, you can't teach the convert everything. So the Gemara says you teach him a bit of this and a bit of that. But in the curriculum of conversion, there has to be one component. And that component is leket, shechecha, peah, and all the mitzvot that pertain to tzedakah. Now, why is that so important for a convert to know? Like, we could theoretically not tell him about Pesach, but leket, shechecha, peah, that's it. It seems to me, as I heard many times from Rav Aaron Rakefet, that when you become a Jew, you have to explain to the potential Jew that it won't just have ramifications on what you eat and how you act on Saturday. It will have a lot of ramifications on your pocket. In other words, what you used to put into the church box is maybe what you're left with after a year in which you have to buy a lulav and esrog, Pesach groceries, and the list goes on. So indeed, I wanted to deal today with the following question. How much do we have to spend on a mitzvah? I'm not talking about a mitzvah that you do for free. A mitzvah that you do that costs you money. Any ideas? Which mitzvahs cost us money? Lulav and Esrog, matzah, building a sukkah, or the actual, not building, but per se, but the actual raw material for a sukkah.
Tefillin.
Meals.
Baruch Hashem, meals and whatnot.
All these things you can use, you don't have to buy them.
Use
your neighbor's stuff.
Eventually, you have to.
To go for food.
Are you suggesting, Bruce, we steal it?
No.
How do you initially get it?
You ask.
Borrow a sukkah for the rest of your life.
No. I mean, there's no rush to.
You borrow a pair of tefillin every day.
Come to shul till they,
do you think this is the way that you would suggest people to run their lives? Just borrow, borrow.
I wouldn't scare people. So you know what? You need $10,000 to lay out or not?
Well, let's see. Let's see how much we have to scare them. So the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Teda Amud Aleph, says, Amar Rav Zeira Amar Rav Huna. Both Rav Zeira and Rav Huna said, Be mitzvah at shlish. When you have to spend money for a mitzvah, it's up to a third. My shlish, what's a third? Ilei mashlish beito. If it means that you have to spend a third of all your assets. Explains Rashi, just in case you didn't fall off your chair yet. Shechayav adam lebazbez b'mitzvot lulav o tzitzit o sefer Torah, shlish ma sheyesh lo. If you want to assume that it's a third of everything you own, so theoretically, if you own $120,000, including all your assets and whatnot, how much do you have to spend on a mitzvah? According 40. To this assumption,
40.
If you would say that, elameyata, yitzur me le klata mitzvata, leite v'chule beita. Let's say you have three mitzvahs.
Right.
You're wiped out.
Right.
Finished. So right. It can't be.
And there's a woman, by the way, a lot less.
No, it doesn't talk about a woman less. Elam Rav Zeira says behider mitzvah, atshlish per mitzvah. We're not talking about the actual mitzvah of buying tefillin. We're talking about if you want to buy an extra nice mehudar pair tefillin, then you have to spend, you could spend, theoretically, up to a third of your assets. Explains Rashi. A Jew has to own a Sefer Torah. We won't get into that mitzvah today. But if you have two Sefer Torahs to buy, and one is nicer than the other, either halachically nicer or looks nicer. And as you know, anything that looks nicer and is nicer will have ramifications on what? On your pocket, says Rashi. Yosif shlish adamim v'yikach hatahidur. So whatever it costs, if it's up to a third more, it's okay, you can add. D'tanya zekeli v'anveyu hitnael lefanav b'mitzvot. She'en le'aselecha sefer Torah na'er, lulav na'er, tal na'er, tzitzit na'er. So says Rashi, what it means is that you can, if you want to do a hidur mitzvah, namely it's two esrogim, and you want to buy the nicer one, if it's just a third more than the regular kosher one, that's okay. So we know we could spend up to a third more of the principal price. Tosfos adds, mashma, not just that you can, but it's forbidden to spend more. The ain le bazbez kol mamono liknot etrog. We love etrog, and we love that yellow etrog. We love looking at it, and eventually after sukkah, smelling it, beautiful. But you can't spend more than what it says here, and that is a third of the principal price. And even if it's the only etrog around, and indeed the Rambam codifies this in the code of his Jewish law, and say in Hilchot Irchin, lo'olam lo yakdish adam lo yachrim kol nechasav, if you want to makdish, you want to sanctify, let's say, a chulin pot to the Beis HaMikdash, you can't do it with all your assets, because you have to leave things to live on. And he goes on to say, if you do that, ein zo chasidut el ashtut. It's not considered pious to give away all your assets. It's considered what? Shtut. Stupidity. Imagine a guy has money. He doesn't give tzedakah. He gives away all his assets. He has nothing left. What does he become?
Poor.
So that's dumb. Sharei umla bemet, kol mamanovi yitzarech labriyot. Ve'en rachamim alav. And don't give him rachmanas for being stupid. So you can give rachmanas to someone who had bad luck. But you see, the Rambam's very analytical. If he's stupid, you don't give him rachmanas. If he's dumb, you don't give him rachmanas. Very interesting. On this issue. He goes ahead and he destroys the world. If you want to spend money on mitzvos, up to a fifth of your assets. So we just came down with two rules. Number one, if you want to buy a nicer mitzvah, a nicer etrog, a nicer sefer Torah, you can add up to a third of the principal price. And number two, in general on mitzvot, you spend up to a fifth of your assets, not more. And the Ramah paskins lahalacha mishein lo etrog ashar mitzvot veret, ein tzarich lebazbez alav hon rav, kamo sha'amru ha-mebazbez azva bazbez yoter mechomesh afilu mitzvot veret, v'dafka mitzvot zase. So to do a prohibition, obviously you give away everything, but for positive commandments, up to a fifth. Yeah.
How do we know that this is each individual mitzvah versus mitzvah in general? Like, shouldn't spend more than that amount. Like taxes.
Taxes is a mitzvah. Here we're not talking about that. We're talking about buying things to do a mitzvah, like an etrog or a lulav.
But in total, don't spend more than a third of your assets on buying paying for mitzvahs. You have to live. You have to pay your rent.
That's not what the Gemara said. The Gemara says if you want to add up to a third of the principal price, then you can add a third. It's not a third of your assets. That was the assumption of the Gemara, that the Gemara says no.
What's principal price?
Okay, if the principal price for an etrog, let's say, is 60, you can add up to a third of 60 and buy a nicer etrog, not more, because then you'll become impoverished. In general, you can't spend more than a fifth. So we know, as we say, what we can't do. But how much should we spend? The Gemara here only talked about how much you shouldn't spend, namely, what's the limit? Now, how much can you spend? Now, we know Jews that some of them, when they unfortunately went to the better world, they went ahead and they gave away all their assets. We know Jews that have given 50% of their assets to tzedakah, 50% of their worth to tzedakah. Mm-hmm. The question is, we understand the limit, but the question is, here, how much do I have to spend?
Why is that a halakhic question? If you can afford it, you do it. If not?
Because we just saw Gemaras that say you can't. Because you yourself have become impoverished. How do you know how the market's going to go tomorrow? You have a lot of money, you can afford it. The market goes down tomorrow, now you don't have money. And you go back and you say, why don't I have money? And you find out, because I didn't give away a third, a fifth. I gave away 50% of everything I own to buy an etrog, to buy a nice, what do you call that thing that you light the candles in? The Friday night candles.
Candelabra.
Thank you.
Candlesticks.
Candlesticks. You buy nice candlesticks, whatnot, that's the question. So the question is not so much the limits. We know the limits of what you can't spend, but what can you spend? So here we have a Gemara and Sukkah. That group somehow always goes together, huh? Where do we remember them from? Pesach. Here they are together, and now we're in Sukkos. Shayu bayin basfina. They were on a boat. Lo haya lulav. They didn't have a lulav. Sukkos. It doesn't talk about if they had a sukkah. Ela Raman Gamliel bilvad shelakachol be'elav zuz. Raman Gamliel found a lulav, and obviously the seller here knew this guy needs a lulav. So what did he do? He jacked up the price. It's 1,000 zuz. Now, just for you to understand, a ketubah of a woman at that time, which was a year's salary, was 200 zuz. You understand what 1,000 zuz means in comparison to 200 zuz? You understand? But he paid 1,000 zuz. Lama lila meima shalakhu be'erov zuz, the Gemara says, why did you tell us how much he paid? Lahodiyacha kama mitzvot chavivot alihem. To show how much he loved the mitzvah. Now how do you take that statement?
That he really liked jelly afterwards.
He really liked jelly. He really liked sukkahs. He really liked etrog.
Didn't we say the Rambam said that you shouldn't You're considered a fool if you spend a certain amount.
Correct. Yeah, correct. So maybe this Gemara is against the Rambam. How do you take this Gemara? Is this a halacha? Is this a nice story? Yeah. So the Beis Yosef, in the name of Rabbeinu Yerucham, says, "Umikom akom beisur nechasav chayav liknoto." Rabbeinu Yerucham says, up to a tenth, you have to buy. If it's more than a tenth, you don't have to buy a lulav and esrog. And says the Beis Yosef, "Elo yadati minayin lo." The Beit Yosef, Baruch Hashem, knows the Gemaras by heart and says, "I went through the Gemaras, I saw Chomesh, a fifth. I saw Shlish, a third. I never saw a tenth. Where'd that come from? Now, between you and me, where'd it come from?" The Gemara talks about how come we have 19 brachos of Shmona Esrei. That's the best joke I like to say. 19 brachos of the 18. Why is it that we have 7 brachos on Shabbos? In other words, numbers in Judaism are not random. So, if you would ask me, how did Rabbeinu Yerucham get to a tenth? I'd say, simple, there is a paradigm in the Torah for a tenth. What is it?
Tithes.
The Ten Commandments.
Tithes.
Meiser. Meiser. So it's not totally far-fetched. It's there. But the Beis Yosef says, with regard to mitzvah, we don't find it. On the other hand, the Chayei Yadam. The Chayei Yadam, as everybody here knows, had a very, very, very interesting life. He was a grocer. He had a grocery shop. But when you have a grocery shop in Vilna, and you have to be a Talmud Chacham to make money. And he was a huge Talmud Chacham, and he wrote a code of Jewish law called the Chayei Adam. He was scared stiff his entire life that, God forbid, a guy is going to write a book called Kitzer Chayei Adam. For obvious reasons. Whoever didn't get the joke, the davening must have been too long for you this morning. What does Kitzer Chayei Adam mean?
Shortening
of someone's life! Everyone's awake now. So Baruch Hashem, there's no Kitzur Chayei Yadam, there's only Chayei Yadam. And the Chayei Yadam says, Rabbi Danzig, as we saw earlier in the Ramah, up to a fifth. So you find out what a fifth of your assets is, or a fifth of your salary, and that's how much you have to spend. The Bir Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim, later in life says, says, even if you want to add maybe a fifth, a sixth, I got it. But not more. Not more. The problem is, we never saw any of that in the Gemaras we saw. It only told you what the limit is. It never told you how much do you have to spend. So in my humble opinion, and again I'm being very humble today, the Ran seems to say what Bruce said earlier, and that is whatever you could afford. In other words, these two great Gedolei Yisrael, the Beit Yosef and Neim Rabbeinu Yerucham and the Chayei Yadam, when they looked at this Gemara about Rabban Gamliel who spent 1,000 zuz, they probably said, Rabban Gamliel is a very unique individual. Rabban Gamliel loved the jelly of the etrog, as Bruce said. But that's not a halacha. Comes along Duran and says, what allows you to decide what's halacha or not? Why, because you got a Brooklyn accent, you know how to decide these things? The Gemara brought the story. If the Gemara brought the story, it didn't bring it for recreation. It didn't bring it for a commercial break. It didn't bring it for you to go to sleep at night with a nice fairy tale. It brought it for a reason. There was a reason why this Gemara was said. And the reason, says the Ran, is as follows. Even if it's a mitzvah that if you don't pay for it right now, it's gone. An Erev Sukkah, you want to buy a sukkah or a lulav and esrog, is going to cost a lot of money. If it's a third of your assets, you're not obligated, as we saw. How can it be that the Chachamim come along and say, this is how much you have to spend, no more. So don't sit in the sukkah, don't shake a lulav and esrog, no problem. Comes along the Ravid, the Chatat HaRavid. Kedei shelo yavol liyedei oni, ve'yalpil atzmo latzibur, kemo she'amru aseh shabbatcha chol v'atitztarech labriyot. Says the Ravid, it's a simple svara. It's not a pasuk. It's not a tradition, it's a simple svara. If you give away a lot of your money, what's the story? Wait, if you give away a lot of your money, what's going to be? You'll become poor. So it's a simple svara. As the Gemara says with regard to Shabbos, make your Shabbos like a regular day, eat tuna fish. If you can't afford the meat for the cholent, and don't ask for handouts for Shabbos. Yeah.
It sounds like an agadic story. We're trying to make a halachic yuk out of this. The teacher might be, don't get on a boat before Sukkot. Plus, I think we do have halachas when you're traveling.
There is halachas.
You actually don't have to stop.
This is correct. There is halachas with regard to how much before Shabbos can you get on a boat.
And what the moral of the story is. Don't get on a boat.
I don't know if that's the moral of the story. The moral of the story is lehodiacha kama mitzvot chavivot alihen. It's not, the moral is not that. In general, the moral of the story is not, don't get on the boat. The Gemara says what the moral is. Lo diachah kama chavivot ha-mitzvot. So the Ran says, according to the Rive, it's simple svara. So that you don't go ahead and do what?
Overspend.
Right. V'chen amri in ketubos. Ha-mebazbez al yebazbez yoter michonesh v'pnei ha-shaha only kemita. Being poor is like being dead. U'mil. Kol echad v'chad mechayev lite kempu b'monei kedei lekayem mitzvasase kerabban gamliel shalakach etrog be'elev zuz. So finally we have a Ran that says, a Rishon, how much do you have to get? Kol chad v'chad, everyone, mechayev lateid, has to give, kepum mamone, as much as he can afford for a mitzvah. And he was the Nasi. Yeah. For him, 1,000 zuz, it's gornish, it's peanuts.
Right.
For me, it's not. For him, it is. The chokhmat adam, take a wild guess what he wrote a perush on. Wild guess. Look on the page. 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. What did he write a perush on? On the Chayei Adam. The Chochmat Adam wrote a perush on the Chayei Adam says, Ashir Muflag, person that's very rich, Mutal Bazbezaf Yoter Michomesh Nechasav. V'yimino Muflag Ba'ashirut, and if he's not so rich, Yitenat Chomesh Nechatzav, V'hayi Bazbez Yoter Michomesh, Kedesh Lo Yitzarech Labriyot. What is the Chochmat Adam today? He says, if you don't have a lot of money, up to a fifth. But if you have the money and you can afford it, bevakasha. Bevakasha. Make a sukkah with a chandelier in it. Does anyone here know of a Hasidic group that has a sukkah with a chandelier?
Babov.
Thank you. Babov. Babov has a sukkah with a chandelier. By the way, that might pass the sukkah, but we'll get into that when we get to Silchos Sukkah. But that's a separate issue. The very fact is they're making a beautiful sukkah. They can afford it. Well, they can afford it. The bottom line is they can afford it. I can. Yamshel Shlomo, the Maharshal, as you know, was one of the antagonists against the Shulchan Aruch because he didn't like what the Shulchan Aruch did. He says, "Ki bevaday mi shechayav nitchakim afilu shlishen otzarich losif avur hita mitzvah." If a person has a very hard life, he's impoverished, even he doesn't have to even give a third. Vafilu efshar sha mitzvah atzmai tzarich liknotim chayav nitchakim vav shover, he doesn't have to spend anything. Da'avile kehon rav shenot tzarich lebazbez lulei ner chanukah v'dalat kosev v'chay gavna v'chen ikar. What does he basically say? As much as you can afford. The Aruch HaShulchan, getting into the 20th century now, we're at the Aruch HaShulchan, Rabbi Yichel Michel Epstein, im kavanato da'at chomesh mechuyev v'bazbez ha-mitzvah v'imken b'gemara, etc. He basically says, if the Gemara says Rabban Gamliel did something, and they didn't reprimand him, or curse him, or say you did something terrible, he must have done a good thing, says the Aruch HaShulchan, lachen irali dedugma be'al manakit. As Bruce said, he was an asibi Yisrael v'ashir gadol, and therefore he could afford it. So according to these sources, it's not a third, it's not a fifth. How much can you spend? As much as you can afford. In other words, what these sources are saying is that it's very, very odd that a person that has a lot of money and has a huge house and beautiful cars comes into a shul with a yellow talus that's falling apart. That seems inconsistent. A gentleman, on the other hand, has a very small house, is impoverished, and comes into shul with a yellow talus, will say that's exactly what he's supposed to do. Kol hakavod, at least he has a talus. The limits we know. A fifth. How much can you spend? As much as you can afford. In other words, this is one of those examples in halacha, where the halacha doesn't tell you this is how much. When you eat, how much do you have to eat? Kazayit. To bench? Kebeitza. Midoraisa, midorabanan could be kezayit. There are shiurim for mitzvos. A mikvah has to be arba'im seyah. But here there's no shiur. In other words, as much as you can spend. That's what the Ran seems to say in the name of the Ravid. The Chayei Adam put a cap on it and try to give a shiur of chomesh. So did the Beis Yosef in the name of Rabbeinu Yerucham X. Comes along the Ran and says, we have one source in Shas, the story of Rabban Gamliel. No one reprimanded him as much as you can afford. So everyone has to have their head screwed on straight, know what they can afford, and go ahead and do it. In other words, don't buy a Mahudar set of lulav esor gadasim aravos if you can't afford it. If you can, you can. It has to be, like a good tailor, it has to be in your size. That's what I think these poskim are saying on the left side of the page. So we know what the limit is, how much can I spend, how much could you spend. We saw a tenth, a fifth, but it seems like the Ran is reading into this story of Rabban Gamliel. It's not unique. Rabban Gamliel had a lot of money. For him, peanuts was 1,000 zuz.
Well, it sounds like common sense.
Correct.
Correct. It didn't seem like
it's common sense. It's one of the first times around this table we're talking common sense. Till now we talked halachic sense. Now we're talking common sense.
The difference like between.
But now, if you turn the page, we're going to see where the common sense has exceptions. Common sense says any mitzvah there is, up to a fifth, you don't become impoverished if you can afford it as much as you can. There's one exception I found, and again I can go on and on, but I want to tell the exception. What's the exception to this rule?
Yes.
Shulchan Aruch says anything that has to do with Pirsumi Nisa, publicizing the miracle. Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Pesach, this is the opening Mishnah in the 10th chapter of Masechet Pesachim. You know, Masechet Pesachim deals with Chametz, the first two chapters. That's not fun. Then it deals with Korban Pesach. We don't, unfortunately, bring the Korban Pesach, so it's not fun to learn about it. But you get to the 10th Perek, that's the Seder night. We love the Seder night. We love learning Arvei Pesachim. And talks about Kiddush. We love Kiddush, especially if we can get a little drunk. These are the things we like in life. So that opening Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim, the 10th chapter, the final chapter of Masechet Pesachim, says Arvei Pesachim, the Erev Pesach, Afilu Ani Shebi Yisrael, even the poor man has to go out and get the money for the Arba Kosot, the four Kosot, even if he has to take from the Tamchui, from the city fund for poor people. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Afilu Ani Mitpanes Min Atzdaka, Yimkor Malbusho Yilveo Yaskir Atzmo Bishvil Yayin Ledalet Kosot. What didn't he say? If you'd have asked me, okay, a guy has X amount of money, what should he spend it on? I would say matzah. Why? Matzah is a mitzvah. The oraisa. Ha'agadah, if he doesn't know it by heart, is a mitzvah, the oraisa. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. What's dalet kosos?
The Rabbanan.
The Rabbanan. So the common sense, and my common sense would say, all right, you got a little money, matzah goes first in the pecking order. Answer, maybe common sense is not a halachic sense. We dealt with this around this table many times. It's an independent discipline. And it's not just with regard to Pesach. With regard to Chanukah, Mitzvot Ner Chanukah, says the Rambam, Mitzvah Chavivah Hi Ad Ma'od. Now, where do we see the word Chavivah? Anyone remember? Turn the page back. What does the Gemara say about Rabban Gamliel? And it's 1,000 zuz lulav Chavivah. This is a very, very, how can I say Chaviv? I adore the Mitzvah of Chanukah. I adore it. Now, you want to adore something? You adore your wife? No problem. Go ahead and adore your wife. What do you got to do? Pay. You got it. You adore a mitzvah. You got to pay. V'tzarich adam lizaher b'kadei lohodi ha'nesva lo'si b'sheva chayevo lo'odai ha'nesim sha'asa lanu. V'afilu en lo ma le'echol la'ela min atztaka sho'el lo mocher k'suto v'lokeach shemen v'neirot u'madlik. With regard to Chanukah candles, same idea. Even the ani has to take a loan. Shulchan Aruch paskins it in Hilchos Chanukah. Why is these two mitzvahs an exception to the rule? The answer is, matzah is a regular mitzvah, so it's governed by the rules and regulations of mitzvahs. A third, a tenth, or how much you can afford. These two mitzvahs are different. Why? Look at the Prima Gadim on the left side. Vayensim on Tav Reish Nun Vav. We just quoted it by Etrog. Mitzvah Tzaseh B'momon Ayibaz Be'ez Yoter Mechulish Radim Nir Chanukah. The Prima Gadim says the Shulchan Aruch really doesn't mean what he says. When he says even the Ani has to take out a loan, he doesn't mean that. He means up to a fifth. Regular rules and regulations. Doesn't seem to be what he says. And indeed the Bir Halacha says, Haraham Katav, the Harambam Lamatken Midin Dalat Kosos, Zeh Havei Mishum Pirsumei Nisa. The Gemara in three places say women are obligated in a time-bounded commandment. Why? Sha'af hen ayubo ta'anes. What are the three? Dalet Kosot, Chanukah, and Megillah. These mitzvot are different. Chanukah, Megillah, and Dalet Kosos.
So this just contradicts what Josh Daniels taught us in the last year, that if you can afford a Shabbat candle, you can only afford a Shabbat candle.
Or a Chanukah candle.
So it's like kind of like
the... Right. Comes along, that does contradict, comes along the Bir Halacha, and in my opinion is saying, why is these exceptions to the rule? because if it was just a mitzvah that you do between you and God, there's rules and regulations how much you can spend. But if it's a mitzvah you have to publicize, you have to spend more. In other words, if it's a personal mitzvah for you, whatever you can afford, it's a personal decision. There's a limit, there's a cap, and as much as you can afford. But if it's a mitzvah you have to publicize, in other words, if you don't publicize it, people will start saying, maybe he's not Jewish, maybe he doesn't hold by Hanukkah, maybe he thinks it's absolutely outrageous that the Jews killed their enemies in the Megillah, and therefore he doesn't want to be because he's a pacifist. Whatever it might be, the truth of the matter is, these mitzvahs, since they're done publicly, you're not paying for the mitzvah per se. What are you paying for? The presuming nisa aspect of it. Now, yes, at the end of the day, I'm lighting the Hanukkah candles, just like I'm lighting the Shabbos candles. But the difference is, you have to publicize the Hanukkah candles. And because you have to publicize it, there's no cap on that. Because if you don't publicize it, you got yourself a big problem. So therefore, that's an exception to everything we said. Mitzvah to have to do with publicizing the mitzvah. Usually we don't publicize a mitzvah because we're very humble. But if you have to publicize the mitzvah, then, and only then, you have to spend even more. So as we saw, there's a cap. You don't give up all your money to be Jewish. There's a cap. The Gemara started out by saying maybe a third, and it said impossible. It says a fifth of your assets. That's the cap. You don't have it, don't do the mitzvah. What happens if you have a lot of money? How much can you spend? So we saw a tenth, a fifth, and we also saw as much as you can. And that seems to be the overwhelming majority of poskim on this issue. Again, I didn't count poskim, but it seems to be, based on the story of Rabban Gamliel, that's what it is. What's the exception to the rule? Pesumei Nisa based mitzvah. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Well, yes, I'm here next week, and then I probably won't be here for 2 weeks straight. Yeah. Okay.